This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And welcome in, everybody. Another week, another Monday for Gwen and Chris on San Diego's number one sports talk station. Obviously, a very short show today, so we're going to have to get right to it. Padres beginning a series in Philadelphia against the Phillies. Tony Gwynn Jr., of course, is there where he once played, once starred for the Phillies. And Chris Ello here along with Matt Scraby in the Odyssey Palace Studios. And Tony, let's start with the obvious right off the bat. I'm really excited. The Padres have three vote leaders in the All-Star game right now. They have Fernando Tatis Jr. in right field. They have Jerks and Profar in left field. And they have Luis Arraez at second base. Manny Machado's in second position at third base. So there's that, Tony. The All-Star balloting is going quite well right now. Is there anything else happening? That's all that matters, right?
The All-Star balloting is going quite well, Chris. I'm so glad you brought that up. And obviously, that's the lead story coming
in. I think so,
The leading vote-getters for the Padres. Honestly, we know. The sweep wasn't all that great.
It wasn't what they had in mind, no.
It wasn't what they had in mind, but it is on par. I'm just saying, they swept for the first time. Now they give it right back with a sweep, or being swept by the Mets. So,
I know.
You know, that's how it's been going. And so now you got a tough task ahead of you in the Phillies, who actually just got their behinds beat by Baltimore.
So,
a lot of times when we've been in this spot before, the Padres will land a series like this, and you're like, oh, man, this could get ugly. And then they go out and they play well. So, we'll see how this falls. Three-game set today, and it gets popping here in a few hours.
Yeah, it gets going early. Early start today. Sam Levitt's pregame show is coming up in about a half an hour. But you're right, Tony. Bill James be damned. I'm tired of overreacting to every win and every loss. I mean, it really is kind of silly to do that as a Padre fan. If you haven't learned it yet, we're 77 games into the season now. It's pretty obvious that we all ought to just relax and kind of just ease our way through this season. Win some, lose some, and just kind of accept it and move on to the next game. The best news of all really is not what the Padres are doing, but the fact that the rest of the National League is staying right there within reach. I believe they're now the Padres are tied for the last wild card spot, but they're only a half game behind the Cardinals. I'm not playing scoreboard, but what I'm trying to point out here is, 500 apparently is going to be good enough, at least for the time being, to stay in the hunt. So stay in the hunt and hope you can catch a hot streak somewhere down the road. But I'm not going to overreact to the three losses, because I've been doing that all year, and then like you say, they'll come back and play well here in Philadelphia.
It's frustrating. Certainly you watch the team finally go out and you take care of business against an Oakland Athletics squad that wasn't taking that should have been taken care of, and so you like to think that's why I was cautious when we were talking about. You would hope the momentum carries over,
right.
But clearly it didn't. And, again, the first two nights, they got great pitching. They got good pitching performance. Even though Adam Major didn't get deep in the game, the rest of them, they held it down beyond that point. They just couldn't do anything offensively. Then yesterday, they finally wake up offensively, and the bullpen can't keep it close at that point and let it get away. And so, usually when the Padres have lost games like that, there's a lot more of the small mistakes that happen. Now there was a couple. There was one I think that comes to mind in that series, but largely they stayed away from that. They played clean baseball. They got good pitching. They just didn't hit. And, you know, that's the one thing they've – if there's anything that they've done consistently, they've been able to hit. And so, I don't know. We'll see how it goes in this series. They got some tough pitchers they're facing in this one, too.
Yeah.
Including a couple lefties.
I know. Don't even go there, Tony. The two lefties in New York, you know, again – largely shut them down, and that continues to be kind of an underlying storyline to this season, yeah, that they can't seem to score, you know, much against left-handed starting pitching. Now they're still winning some of those games against lefties because they finally get to a bullpen, but it really would be nice to go out here tonight against Sanchez, who's, you know, good left-hander but not one of the best in the league, and, you know, put four or five runs up early and make it a little easier, you know, on Waldron and the rest of the staff, or Sanchez, yeah, tonight, I'm sorry, on the staff.
Vasquez.
What did I say? Who's Sanchez? They're facing Sanchez.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
yeah.
I just would like, you know, it'd be nice if they had a night like that with a 5-1 lead in the fourth inning like the Mets had yesterday. The Padres haven't had enough of those.
It would be in their best interest to do it tonight.
That's right.
Tomorrow's
yes.
Nola, and then Ranger Suarez is the following day. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, this is where you can start to get into this bullpen, right? I mean, ultimately, get to them early. Have some of those guys be used up today. Because, you know, tomorrow you have to, against starters like Nola and Suarez, you have to go in anticipating you're not going to get a whole lot. Which means you're anticipating those dudes doing what they do. 6-7 innings of work before they are handing it off to the bullpen. If you get it out of the before, great, bonus. You got him out of there earlier, you feel you like your chances even more. But tonight is important from that standpoint, right? You want to start, get Sanchez up out of there early, start getting into that bullpen, you know, and force them to have to use some of those arms.
Yeah, they got a you know, the other crazy thing about this season, but again, I don't find anything crazy anymore, is that we've been able to count on them, you know, winning on the road, and now all of a sudden they've lost 7 in a row on the road. So, you know,
right.
and they're trying.
In some ways, it's starting to kind of even itself
it
out, right?
Yeah.
They couldn't have played that horribly at home, right, the whole year. They certainly weren't going to – we didn't anticipate them playing at a 9-game over 500 clip on the road.
Right.
And so what would have happened? They've played better at home the last two homestands, and they've played worse on the road. So it's kind of starting to even itself out. At least that's what you're hoping. Now, you can still go out and win 2 of 3 here, and it's a bad road trip, so to speak, but you won a series at least.
You'd feel a lot better about things. Tony, how's Manny Machado holding up right now? I felt his frustration yesterday. I mean, this pitch was well under the strike zone. You do not see him react like that very often. I mean,
and he gets a lot of bad calls at the plate, too,
does,
by the way.
He does.
And he doesn't respond to most of the time.
That to me was a signal that, you know, this has got to be getting to him a little bit. I don't want to make excuses for this guy. He doesn't need me to do that. But something is amiss. I mean, when he's got 6 home runs and we're coming up on the All-Star break and he's not, you know, consistently driving the ball. He had an RBI yesterday, but this isn't Manny the way we know Manny. And I getting the feeling that Manny is starting to think that a little bit. And, you know, everybody has a time where they get to a point where they're like, you know, man, I got to get this back at some point. He's always been able to rely on the fact that, you know, things will even out, the statistics will start to pile up, because that's what's always happened for him in 10 years of baseball. It's not happening the way he wants right now, and I'm starting to feel that he is feeling it.
I don't know. I'd say two things. I'd say go back and look where he was on June 17th of last year. I don't know that it was all that better. He might have better numbers right now than he had last June at this point. You're not going to ever get a chance to know how he's actually feeling. He's never going to let you in on that. He's never going to let anybody in on that. He's going to keep, as long as he's able, he's going to keep going out. He's going to keep playing. Do I personally think he's healthy? No, I don't. I don't think he's healthy. He'll never say that. But, you know, a guy doesn't just have a, you know, he's just, he just doesn't, it doesn't look right right now.
Yeah, he really
and,
does.
You know,
it
it goes back to the elbow when he was supposed to be out until May to
right.
start when that was initially diagnosed.
You wonder if that's ever been able to fully heal properly because he's been playing the whole time.
I mean, when maybe when you have those, when you have those type of surgeries, you know, a tennis elbow surgery, it may not, just because you are healthy enough to play, that doesn't mean you're back to full strength. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so it may be one of those things, but certainly we're never going to know. He's going to keep playing. He's going to keep posting. I mean, he probably even shouldn't be playing third base right now. He just had a hip flexor.
I know.
Like a week
ago. I was surprised,
ago.
Honestly, to see him in there.
I was too.
Yeah.
But he's out there. And so, you know, the reality is he's still better than anybody we've got, even with the him look feeling the way he's feeling.
Yeah, no question. Scrabe was looking up some of his numbers last year at this time. What did you come up with there?
It's not the exact science, okay? Just went through Baseball Reference and pulled from last year with 66 games. He was hitting .243, had an OPS of .678, 33 RBIs, 9 home runs, 12 doubles.
That's last year. So he had 9 home runs to 6. His batting average is about the same.
Yeah,
so,
his OPS is, what is his OPS now?
I'm not positive. Don't have it in front of me. Scrape.
His OPS now, I do, Chris, thank you for asking,
okay.
.667. So,
it's about what he was.
It is, yeah.
All right, so Tony's right. Well, let's hope that the second half for Manny is good. One more guy we got to mention.
I think as the year is going to go on, there's a chance he's going to start feeling better. I mean, he'll be further away from the time that he had the surgery. It doesn't mean that it's not going to feel better. It doesn't mean it will, but I just think I think that's kind of part of what we see. It's like no different than Ronald Acuna, right? He had the big knee surgery. He came back. He wasn't himself the year, but then the following year he was much healthier and closer to 100%.
Yeah. One other guy we got to mention, Tony, here before we let you go and get you ready for tonight's broadcast, but because I think he got lost a little bit in the losses, is Jackson Merrill. I'm sorry. I mean, to homer in 3 consecutive games, that very few Padres have ever even done that, let alone a rookie, and doing it against left-handed pitching and hitting a walk-off in the midst of that, and 4 home runs in 3 games, and I mean, look, without him, they get shut out in both of the first 2 games of the Mets series. You know, I don't know if he's on the radar yet, you know, with the other rookies in the National League. And we said this last week, we don't care that much. But I'm glad he did something like this in New York on a big stage. And you couldn't be happier with what we're seeing here. And defensively, he just continues not to miss a beat either.
Yeah, he's just, nothing's changed for Jackson. I think that's the best compliment you can give him. He's hit a few homers here in the last 5 days, but I mean, all in all, it's the same Jackson Merrill we've had since the beginning of the season, and I think that's a testament to his kind of steadiness that he brings to the ball game. He's a winner. He's still learning center field on the fly. Offensively, he's still, you know, learning the league, learning how guys are going to pitch him, what they're trying to do to him. And meanwhile, he's just, you know, staying afloat, hitting .282.
.282, not bad.
Yes, .282. Also, I just looked, and I didn't realize this until this moment. Jackson Merrill has more home runs than Manny Machado and has a higher OPS than Manny Machado.
All right, this is supposed to be a very positive, uplifting open.
That is an uplifting open. Jackson Merrill being a rookie doing those things? Come on now.
I see. It sounded like it was a veiled shot at Manny on the other
side. No. Stop putting that out into the universe. You know, Chris is a big tweeter now, so Tony, you got to watch out. His popularity is growing at the minute.
Well, I have things to say.
He's in the Twitterverse.
I have things to tweet.
Oh, he tweets stats. He does very crisp tweets. Which
not
are,
a lot of opinion, just a lot of facts.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know.
Fact-based tweet.
Can't
how
get
about
into,
that?
Can't get into trouble with facts.
How about that?
Well, actually, you can get into trouble with facts because people still misinterpret them in the Twitterverse. But,
yes, open for interpretation is what it is.
If you want to follow me, at ChrisLOSD, you'll get all kinds of exciting stuff. All right, we got to make way. We got one little quick segment before we turn it over to Sammy Leavitt. Obviously, the U.S. Open golf was this weekend. Mookie Betts got injured. I mean, that was a big story. The NBA Finals are still alive.
What?
Yeah, that's still going.
Yeah, believe it.
It wasn't even close the other night. My goodness, what a meltdown that was for the Celtics. I bet you Dexter Fowler wasn't texting you that night, Tony.
Nah, he was quite quiet.
He was pretty quiet.
He texted. That's what it was. He was complaining that the refs weren't calling anything.
You lose by 38 and you're going to blame the refs?
I really hope they extend it because the whole chat is going to be on his head here shortly. If they extend this and get it back to Dallas.
Well, they got game 5 of the NBA Finals tonight. We'll take a quick look at that. Tony gets ready for the game, which starts at 3:30 this afternoon. Gwynn and Chris underway, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. Hello, and just about goodbye. It's a short show. Sam Leavitt's pregame show actually gets underway in about 10 minutes. So we'll take you up until then. Tony Gwynn Jr. getting ready for the broadcast tonight with Jesse Agler. Game time shortly after 3:30. Chris Hello, Matt Scraby here together in the Odyssey Palace Studios. A couple of things to follow up on. Word is now that Yu Darvish will be making a start on Wednesday night, a rehab start. For those of you that are just happening to be traveling to Fort Wayne, Indiana Wednesday, got great news for you. You can go see Yu Darvish pitch in Fort Wayne for the Tin Caps.
One of the best things about these rehab starts is that these teams love it because obviously they don't get to see Yu Darvish every single day.
No, first of all, the players love to play with him, but I think the other guys will want to go against him.
Yeah, of course.
And show
you
what
see
they
where
can
they're
do.
At.
Show what they can do. So yeah,
that's Yu Darvish will be high A.
And then I don't know. Does it goes on the back of his baseball reference page? I guess forever that he pitched in high A ball.
I guess
for a game this year. So. But Yu's getting closer, and that frankly is good news. I'm not going to pick on Adam Mazur, but he's not ready at the big league level, and you can't be ready until you can throw some strikes. And you know, this isn't another the millionth example. Scrabe of a highly touted prospect. I'm not taking away the fact that he's got skill and he's a prospect and he's number two or he's number four in the organization and all of these people breathlessly talk about him. I need to see these guys come to the Padres and play. And until then, they are just prospects. And this is what Adam Mazur was. He was a prospect. I looked forward to seeing him. I didn't have any great expectations. And I guess it's kind of a good thing I didn't because, you know, now maybe he'll come back up in another 9 months, a year, and he'll be ready. He'll be a little more, you know, able to throw some more strikes. Maybe Graham Pauly the next time he comes back is, you know, hitting consistently.
Him.
I mean, yeah. I mean, prospects are prospects. And this is why, in my mind, they're a bit of a dime a dozen. I know that, you know, Ethan Salas is untouchable, probably should be untouchable. But there's no guarantees on any prospect. There just isn't. And, you know, I like to have the sure thing or the more of a sure thing.
I mean, when you are being praised as throwing nothing but strikes in the minor leagues, but
yes, that was
you
the
can't
one...
throw anything but balls in the major leagues.
That was the one thing that he had going for him, Adam Mazur, was that he threw nothing but strikes. But it didn't work out for him at the big league level. I don't know if he'll get another start with the Padres or not. I wouldn't. I would honestly, you know, cobble together a Morejon day or something like that until Darvish can get back. But, yeah. You know, we'll see what the Padres do. Right now, they got to find a way to beat a left-handed pitcher. And they just haven't been able to do that, with any regularity. They've got two lefties in this series, and the one night they don't have a lefty, they've got Aaron Nola, who might as well be a lefty.
And he crushed them last time.
He's about as good a pitcher as there is in the league when he's on. So
I went to the Aaron Nola game and then the Ranger Suarez game when it was in town, and
Not much happened in those games. But you know what? I'm not predicting this in any way, shape, or form, but tell me you're not going to be surprised if the Padres go in, take 2 out of 3, and come back home at 500.
I will not be surprised.
What they've been doing all year,
yes,
is doing exactly what you don't expect them to do. Trey Turner is back in the Philly lineup tonight. He's been out for months and months, so that's just another guy you got to deal with if you are Randy Vasquez, and starting tonight, Trey Turner will be back. And the other note I wanted to pass along baseball-wise, congratulations to the Padres. They helped turn J.D. Martinez into the National League Player of the Week.
Well, there's always one. Always one.
Did they get that guy out in the series?
I don't know.
He was unbelievable.
Walks, was responsible for the first
singles,
two runs.
Doubles, home runs at will.
Just everything.
J.D. Martinez was, they couldn't get him out.
I don't know if this is true or not, Chris. This is on the chat, but this is pretty remarkable, as you would like to say.
If true.
Padres have faced 15 left-handed pitchers in their last 30 games.
Oh, they've been playing them a lot.
Yeah.
I peak putting the stats on Twitter. I know they faced 20 of them since the end of April. So that's a lot. And they haven't scored more than 3 earned runs off any of them. Not one. I mean, you know, just think by luck, you'd get 4 runs in the first 4 innings against one of these guys.
Yeah.
Hasn't happened. So yeah. Maybe tonight's the night.
Here's a positive. No, okay. JT Realmuto.
Right? Yes. He's out.
That's a positive.
But Trey Turner's in. So, you know, enjoy, you know, take your small victories, I guess.
All right. It's the first game back for Trey Turner, so.
I'll take a small victory. My guy that I love to hate, Rory McIlroy.
Oh.
I choked is really a mean word, even to a guy you don't like.
He did,
but
though.
You can't miss 2 putts inside 3 feet on the last 3 holes.
No.
That's going to live with him forever, I hate to say, for Rory McIlroy.
Oh, yeah.
That's never going to go away.
We will see those putts on the coverage of the U.S. Open for the rest of time.
Yeah. I mean, he missed 2 of them, and there was a statistic that somebody put somewhere that I saw that he had made like 400 putts of that distance in a row yesterday.
He hadn't missed one inside 5 feet all year.
Right. He'd made 400 in a row.
Yeah.
And then he misses 2 in 3 holes.
So, of course, the Twitter golf coaches out there are breaking it down. But
oh, whatever.
What just, intense pressure does to people
yeah.
is make the
you
best players
know.
In the world hit a microscopically bad putt that ends up lipping
I'm
out.
Not going to be too critical of him other than to say I was rooting against him, and that's fine that he, you know, I was happy that he lost. That's mean. But I'm not going to be critical of his actual putt because I've missed it many times. So have you.
Yeah,
so has everybody listening. You can
I've
miss that
shorter
putt.
Putts like that than
right.
That.
Those putts are missable. You do have to give some credit to DeChambeau, though. I mean, to be able to get up and down from the sand, what was it, 50 yards away?
I think it was 51.
Yeah, and you were telling me that the pros say that distance is very difficult for them because it's an in-between distance.
Yeah.
It's not like a short sand shot. It's not like a fairway sand shot.
Yeah.
It's in between. They don't practice it very often. And he put 3 feet away, and then he made his putt. So give him all the credit for winning that.
Absolutely.
And, you know.
Rory, this is like, I don't want this to seem like I'm taking away from Bryson because he did win the tournament.
Right.
But like, Rory did have a 2-shot lead
yeah.
on the back nine of a U.S. Open.
Yeah.
And I just got the feeling with the shots that he was hitting, that he was going to win. I just got that feeling that it was his time to win again, but no.
Did not happen. DeChambeau gets his second major, and golf gets another black eye, whether they want it or not, because keep in mind, DeChambeau's not on the pro tour.
He's not.
I mean, you know, this is ridiculous.
Well, he just bought himself 5 more years of major appearances,
yes,
so he's
good.
Yes,
all of the best golfers, not all of them, but a lot of the best golfers we don't get to see. on a weekly basis. That is a problem with your sport. I'm sorry. One last thing before we go.
Don't disagree.
What?
I don't disagree.
Yeah, right. Yeah, even you're the golf guy, but I mean, it's been hard to watch it recently. It is what it
Although Netflix is going to have a great Full Swing episode because the Netflix crew was there when Rory ran out of the clubhouse and got into the car. So,
oh, that's right. He peeled away.
And I told Chris, how many times have you driven a rental car and misjudged how hard to hit the gas pedal?
Not too many times after I just blew two putts to win the U.S. Open. I've never driven a rental car under those circumstances before. Look, McIlroy can feel bad, but it wasn't as embarrassing as the Celtics on Friday night. Now, granted, the Celtics can come back. They can win the NBA championship tonight. They probably will, and all will be forgotten. But when you have a chance to clinch the world championship and you go out and lose by 38, not only do you lose by 38, at one point they were down by 48 points.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, in the fourth quarter, they finished with a run to get within 38.
Because the Mavs just gave up.
It was so bad. And that, you know, ladies and gentlemen, here is your NBA champions, the Boston Celtics, a team that can't even come within 50 points of their opponent. Game 5 of the NBA Finals is tonight. Every game's different. I would expect the Celtics will bounce back, but it was pretty ugly to see. The same is true on the hockey side for the Florida Panthers, who were skating out on Saturday night to win the Stanley Cup. They had the cup in the building and they lose 8-1.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not, you'd think teams would want to win the championship. They'd be highly motivated. And both the Celtics and the Panthers played about as badly as a team can play. So that series goes back to Florida for game 5. And that guy with the white hair who you always see carrying around the Stanley Cup gets another plane flight to Florida because he goes everywhere with that thing.
Oh, he loves this. You know, this is his time.
I love that guy. You know, he once brought the cup into our studio at the old station.
Oh, you know, I've never heard this story in the last 25 times I've heard it.
Right.
No, tell everyone, though, because there are people who have not heard it.
It was great. You know, they had something going on in San Diego where the Stanley Cup was in town, and they brought it into the studio, and I got to pose with a couple pictures, but it was the same guy. This is a long time ago. He's been doing this forever, that guy with the Stanley Cup.
What would you drink out of the Stanley Cup?
Diet Coke.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You go to 7-Eleven.
What am I going to get? Something different?
Chris would go to 7-Eleven. He would wait in that soda fountain line. He would fill up the Stanley Cup
with Diet Coke and squeeze a couple of lemons in for taste.
Just throw in handfuls of lemons.
Throw in a handful of lemons. So, all right, that's pretty much it. There's, you know, maybe a couple of other little things going on out there, but nothing that we have time to get into. Mookie Betts, we can talk about that for a second.
It's a big deal.
That's a big deal. It would be a much bigger deal, honestly, if the Padres were better.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to say it. Isn't a
catchphrase. Sorry, that's me.
That's
that
you
was my mistake.
Underneath me there. I don't know if anybody heard that, but I did. But yeah, Mookie Betts' injury, my first thought was, oh, that opens things up for... No, it doesn't really open up things. I mean, if the Dodgers... Even without Mookie Betts, if they play 500 ball the rest of the way, they're going to finish 15 games over 500. Are the Padres ever going to get to there?
No.
So
I'm officially the guy that this is a 500 team, Chris. I've changed my mind.
Well,
so many
I know
times.
You have. Well, officially now over the last 346 games, a span of exactly 2 years to June 17th, 2022, the Padres are 173-173. So that's pretty 500. All right, Sam Levitt's got all the rest of the info for you next. Stick around for the Padre pregame show. We're back tomorrow to wrap up whatever we can from tonight's game. We'll see you then at 2 o'clock. Have a good rest of your Monday, everyone. Scrabby, looking good with the
thank you.
With the shoulder on the mend.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.